Here we are. Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel. We're live on this November the 15th in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Tom Baker, and we're going to be taking a look on Insight Tuesday. What? What do you mean, Insight Tuesday? It's supposed to be Rumination Tuesday with Pastor Mark Smith, looking at a hymn. And I know a number of you look forward to that, but Pastor Mark Smith has another assignment, but he indicated to me he'll be able to come in on Wednesday. So the next Law and Gospel, we will be taking a look at the hymn assigned for the last Sunday of the church year, and we encourage you to join myself and Pastor Mark Smith on Wednesday, because today's Tuesday. All righty, what are we going to be talking about on Insight Tuesday? I have been at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm, Missouri now since June, preaching every Sunday. And I want to tell you that every Sunday in the sermon, I start off with a question that most Christians get wrong. And it's pretty easy to do that for a very simple reason. Is because the Bible is not common sense. So all I do is I ask a question that leans towards an answer which is always in error. For example, I do this with the youth confirmands. We were talking about the rich man who asked Jesus how to get to heaven. Jesus says, obey the commandments. That's Mark 10, by the way. So I asked the youth confirmands, is that true that the way you get to heaven is by obeying the commandments? And they all agreed it was not. So I then said, how many therefore disagree with what Jesus said? Now they're stuck. Because if they disagree with what Jesus said, in my opinion, they're not being Christian, let alone Lutheran. We never disagree with what Jesus said. And the point I was making there is there's a lot of things that Jesus says that makes no sense. It's not reasonable. It's contrary to our common sense. And therefore, we tend to think, I disagree with Jesus. And the point I made was we never disagree with Jesus. When we hear something that seems against reality, it's because we don't understand why Jesus is saying what he is saying. And that's where Law and Gospel comes in. Yesterday at Trinity Orchard Farm, we had an adult instruction class, and the one individual wanted to start the class with having a good definition of the distinctions between Law and Gospel. And what I did is what I've done often on this program. I said a proper distinction is not the content. I mean, who doesn't know you shall not murder is law? I said where we get Law and Gospel confused is sometimes not on the content, but on the use. So we use the law in order to get somebody to heaven. That would be a confusion of law and gospel. So, I'm taking a look at Luke chapter 21, where Jesus is talking about the end times, and he is saying that some of you will even be put to death. Well, we in the United States here are really unaware of people being put to death because they are Christians, but that is not true in other parts of the world, where Christians are being executed and even burned to death. So here is my question in regard to those Christians whose body is being destroyed. Who would agree that for such martyrs, not a hair of their head will perish? So that was the question. And of course, there were a couple who put up their hand. But basically, everybody thought that, boy, if you're a martyr and you get burned at the stake, obviously your hair is going to perish. And then I said, well, then what are you going to do with verse 18 of Luke 21? But not a hair of your head will perish. You see, Christianity is not common sense thinking. It is impossible to use reason to convince someone to be a Christian because our faith is totally unreasonable. We live by faith, not by reason. So I have blind faith that whenever the Bible says something, that's true, regardless if I agree with it or not. For example, when we talk about the Christian faith, we are not talking about the history of the Bible, because archaeology and other things can probably prove a lot of the historicity of the Bible. But even if you believe that there was an Abraham, that there was a Moses, that there was a David, that there was a Solomon, guess what? That doesn't save you. Remember, the Pharisees knew the Bible backwards and forwards. Some of the scribes had it memorized. I'm talking about the Old Testament. And yet Jesus said, your father is the devil, because even though they had the Bible memorized, they didn't recognize Jesus as the Savior. They did not have faith. So how does one get faith? We don't give it by being reasonable. We give it by preaching the gospel. Keeping the distinctions between law and gospel straight is the way that we proclaim Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. So every sermon I've done at Trinity Orchard Farm, it was very easy to find a statement in the Bible that people would disagree with. For example, let's take a look at this one. Luke 21:18 says, not a hair of your head will perish. Well, how can that be true? Particularly when we see martyrs being burned to death. Obviously, their hair is perishing, it seems. So how do we reconcile that particular verse with the destruction, not only the hair of a person's head, but their whole body being destroyed? Well, we use the Reformation principle, not use reason to interpret Scripture, but use Scripture to interpret Scripture. And when we talk about Scripture interpreting Scripture, we just don't mean that you look at other Bible passages, although we're going to do that partly today, in order to understand another passage. Sometimes you don't use another passage, but you need to know the original meaning of the Hebrew, the Greek, and occasionally the Aramaic that is found in the Bible. Why is that important? I don't know if you've ever tried to learn another language, but the first thing you will recognize is very difficult. Let's say you're going from English to Spanish or vice versa. Guess what? It's really hard to find single words that give all the nuances of the word in the other language. I've used the word love, for example. In the Greek, there's the word love, but guess what? There's three different kinds of loves in the Greek language. Actually, there's more than that. Two of them are found in the Bible, agape love, phileo love, and then there's erotic love. Well, when God says, for God so loved the world, the English always has the word love, but you don't know which love it is. This is my point, that English translations can often be misleading unless you have somebody who's translating them and giving the nuances with proper English words. So, what's the word we want to look at where it says, not a hair of your head will perish? Most of the translations use the word perish, destroyed. You know, go out of existence. But it also has other meanings. It can mean to put something to an end or to lose it. For example, you're on a boat and you drop your cell phone into the water. You can either say, my cell phone has perished, or I have lost my cell phone. Both items would be correct. and yet you're using a different English word, perish or lost. Now, while most English translations, for some reason, use the word perish, giving you the impression that, well, that goes out of existence, the King James, New King James translation is this: but not a hair of your head will be lost. Why is that significant? Because you're still back to the question, how on the one hand can marchers have their hair destroyed but not lost? And this is where you bring in Scripture, interpret Scripture. There are many answers, but the one I chose is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring you into his presence. Wow. You see, what the Bible teaches is, yes, when the Christian dies, the spirit goes to heaven with Jesus, but the body also will be raised from the dead. And the body will not look like martyrs being burned at the stake. What we're not absolutely clear, because the Bible doesn't say, are infants still going to be infants? Are they going to grow? Are older people, are they going to be old looking? Some scholars think that everyone will be at the age that maybe Adam and Eve were at, perhaps 18 to 25 years old in age, even though they were created in one day. But let's look at another passage that actually uses constructs of the word perish. It's a passage used at most funerals when you get to the cemetery, 1 Corinthians 15. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. It's talking about the body in the coffin. It may end up decaying, only bones left. But what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And then in verse 51, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What does that mean? It's talking about Judgment Day, and there will be Christians who haven't yet died. They're going to be living here on earth. But at the moment of Judgment Day, they will be changed. How so? Well, in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Verse 52, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. So now this new body, which not only means you'll get your skin back, your organs, but also your hair, listen to verse 53 if you don't think perishable is important. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Yes, it is true that here on earth, it's possible that because of persecution or simply death, our entire physical body, including our hair, might be perishable. But at the resurrection of the Christian, your new body will not only be restored with your hair, but it will be immortal. And what does that mean? It means it will last for an eternity. In Luke 21, there's the section where Jesus is talking about that not every stone of the temple will be still standing. They'll all be thrown down. There'll be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, and persecution. What Jesus is talking about is not the last judgment day. At that point, he's talking about the capturing of Jerusalem by the Roman Gentiles and the destruction in AD 70, just a few decades after Jesus rose from the dead. But then if you take a look at Luke 21, beginning with verse 25, Jesus kind of shifts our attention as he speaks of the powers of the heavens being shaken and the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Well, the Son of Man didn't come in power and great glory in AD 70. No. Now he's talking about the great day of judgment at the end of the world. So, while Jesus does show the destruction of the temple in AD 70 as pointing forward to the end times of the world, so also today we can point to the death of Christians overseas and even the persecution of Christians here in this country. I mean, people get arrested because they are refusing to bake a cake for a gay couple, and they get fined for that. That's persecution. But it reminds us that all the factors necessary for the end time, they're all already here. If Jesus would come back before the end of my program today, I'm not going to look up and say, hey, you're early. No. All of the factors of the end times are already present, just as the factors that Jesus talked about in regard to the destruction of the temple are already present. Unfortunately, though, there are even many Christians who are not looking forward to the day of judgment, nor to the immediate future. For example, it appears that not only in the country, but in congregations, there are people who feel differently about the outcome of Tuesday's election. And therefore, sermons prior to that, as we heard just earlier today before my program, by the way, was talking about that regardless what happens in the election, God is still in charge. His promises are sure. He's in control. Therefore, he will never leave us, and all things will work to our good. Now, that working to our good may mean that in various countries in the world, as well as the United States, Christians will be persecuted. But remember, we believe that all the apostles except for John were martyred. And yet, that worked out to their good, for heaven was their home. You see, what we're saying with this message in regard to the coming day of judgment, the Christian here has nothing to fear. In fact, Jesus talks about that in verse 28 of Luke 21. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, how many times do we use the word redemption? Sometimes we may use the verb redeem, but I remember the last time we used it, at least in my life, you could go to a gas station, and when you bought a certain amount of gas, you got stamps that you could put in a book. And if you filled the whole book, you could redeem them for some item. I remember, and I think I've told you this already, I was trying to get, I think I needed 40 books and I would get a television. But it takes like 6 months even to fill one book. And that soon stopped when we were on a trip to Florida and I was telling my dad, don't go to that gas station, wait till you see one that gives the stamps. And of course he ran out of gas before he could find that. Well, we weren't looking for those gas stations anymore. We just ended up going to any gas station when he was short on gas. But the word redemption has a significant meaning in the original Greek. It means that the person who is redemption, who is redeemed, will be liberated because of the payment of a ransom on your behalf. You see, that's significant. You cannot redeem yourself. You cannot buy your way out of heaven. And therefore, you take a look at 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes, "You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Wow. That's where you get your redemption, from Jesus. And who gets that redemption? Those who deserve it? No, from a law gospel point of view, nobody deserves it. In fact, we have a confession of sins. We've said it many times here, where we confess that we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And that's as we are Christians. Why? Because no matter how many fruit of the Holy Spirit you do, which shows you're a Christian, the old Adam also is involved in the motivation behind that fruit, and his motivation is always sinful. So, it doesn't matter what vocation you have. You may be a farmer, a homemaker, a waitress, a manager, a student, a teacher, a pastor. In other words, in every one of those vocations, you have your ups and downs in life. For your downs in this life, God promises always to be at our side. And he will never give us a downer that we cannot overcome and may even find a way of escape. Oh, that's 1 Corinthians 10:16. And all things will work together to our good. That's Romans 8:28. And even when we pray, it's clear that we do not know how to pray as we should. That's also in Romans. But the Holy Spirit will take that prayer and refashion it in such a way that it reaches the throne of God perfectly. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is truly the author. That means the initiator. And he's the finisher. That means he takes care of the closing of our faith. Christians do not live by reason. There are two kinds of reason. They're referred to as the ministerial use of reason and the magisterial use of reason. The ministerial bows to what is found in the Bible. We may not understand it. I mean, who understands that God is three persons? The Bible is totally logical, but it's not reasonable. Because if you ever see somebody coming into a room and you say, "Look at those two persons over there," and everybody looks and they only see one person, they'll think you're nuts. That's why the gospel is the means of bringing a person to faith. Because through those words that Jesus used again and again, people come to understand through the power of the Holy Spirit and believe what they thought just a few minutes before was ridiculous. Yes, every passage since June has had a ridiculous notion in it. The Bible is not commonsensical. And that's why I have such fun in working out the question. In fact, last week there were three questions I could have asked. But when you ask the question I did ask, is it true that the hairs of the head of a martyr will never perish? Nobody agreed with that. And therefore now they were stuck with a Bible promise that your hair will never perish. And part of the way we fix that is to show that the word perish can mean just be lost. So you can lose something, but it doesn't mean it's perished. For example, even if you drop your cell phone into the water from a boat and somebody puts their hand down, maybe it's shallow water, and they pick it up, guess what? There are cell phones that can be underwater now, and they still continue to operate. So then you would say, not that your cell phone perished, but that I lost my cell phone. Yes, you may lose your hair. By martyrdom, by growing older, many reasons. But that will not perish. It's only lost until that day when you get your new body. That's the joy of end times. So we look forward to Judgment Day, knowing full well that, yes, boy, we're not looking forward to meeting God, maybe, in light of our sins. But God is one who not only has forgiven your sins, but he is going to make sure that when you get to heaven, there no longer will be ups and downs going on, but only ups. An eternal ascent into joy, bliss, health, life, and imperishable hair. Tomorrow, be with us when Mark Smith comes in as we discuss the hymn, God Bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.